A thought for today. My imagination is my greatest blessing and my greatest mystery. My imagination is my greatest blessing and my greatest mystery. My imagination is my greatest blessing and my greatest mystery. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that our imagination is our greatest blessing? Well, the ability to dream, the ability to desire, the ability to think about things is a wonderful thing, because we cannot go shopping unless we think about what we're going to shop for. And so before we go shopping, we have a general idea of what we're going to get. We're going to get eggs, we're going to get meat, we're going to get potatoes, we're going to get bread, we're going to get pasta, we're going to get pizza, and we're going to get vegetables. Oh yes, vegetables, of course. Oh yes, of course. And we're going to get salad. Yeah. And we're going to get, oh, we need some salad dressing too. Now you see, what you're doing, you're imagining all these things. You're imagining them on the table, in fact. You're imagining the salad, how it's going to look. You're going to say, well, I'm going to get about four or five different types of lettuce, because I'll have four or five different types of salad. And then, when it comes time to serving it on the table, you say, I've changed my mind. I'm going to put the whole damn mess together. Every kind of salad we have, I'm going to put it in there, and then we're going to eat that all together. And, oh, that's interesting. And then, oh, what the heck? Let's have salad for breakfast, salad for lunch, salad for supper. And let's have vegetables for breakfast, and vegetables for lunch, and vegetables for supper. Okay, that's kind of new and interesting, but certainly lacking a little imagination. Imagination is for breakfast, you have cereal, and you have orange juice, and you have bacon and eggs, ham and eggs, or chicken and eggs, or something, you know. Chicken should always go with eggs, shouldn't it? Something like that. So you have that sort of an idea. But what sort of ideas do you really have? Do you really have the idea, well, if a little bit of medicine makes the sugar go down, or a little bit of sugar makes the medicine to go down, then a lot of sugar would make the medicine go down very well. So if a little bit of salad is good for us, let's have a lot of salad. If a little bit of vegetables are good for us, let's have a lot of vegetables. You see, our imagination just goes in an interesting way. Now, is anything that we're doing bad? Well, not necessarily. Is anything that we're doing bad? Well, is anything that we're doing bad? Yes. What we're doing is we're not using our imagination. We're just saying that this is what the book says we should do, so we're doing it. And then we put the whole shlam-dam on the table, and then you're supposed to have it. There's no imagination, there's no creativity. Every meal is cheese, every meal is cottage cheese, every meal is cream cheese, every meal is vegetables, every meal is salad, every meal is everything. Well, if you have imagination, you say breakfast, way to start the day, something fresh and charming, something delightful, something marvelous, something exciting. All right? What would be marvelous and exciting? What sort of breakfast have they created over the centuries that are very delightful and people just ravish themselves for? They just think it's wonderful. Well, think about it. You can use your own imagination, or you can use somebody else's. Well, now what's for lunch? How would we plan our lunch? What would we make for our lunch? Well, for lunch, we'd have a toasted cheese sandwich, but we're not using bread, so you can't have bread on there. You can have just toasted cheese. Well, warm cheese, that's an interesting idea. Without bread, well, how would you serve that? Interesting. Ah, yes, I remember. I used to love to go to Denny's because they would serve a vegetable salad with melted cheese on top of it. The most marvelous vegetable salad you could ever want. The veggies were all just dipped into scalding water for a moment and then put into the bowl and then melted cheese poured all over it. But you're not supposed to eat this melted cheese. It's not good for you. It's not good for your diet. Well, get a kind of cheese that's good for your diet. Melt. Any cheese will melt. Some cheeses melt better than others. Perhaps you have to mix a little bit of milk in it with it to make the cheese melt and become a nice, flavorful mix. But use your imagination. Use your imagination. Be creative. But I don't have time to be creative. I just have time to slam down it on the table, and then you eat it, and then that's it. Well, try a little bit of imagination, just a little bit. You don't have to go way out, but you read all the books on the recipes that we should have. Try a few varieties. You read a few books on the ideas that we should have. Try a few of them. You come from a history of eating. In fact, all of you are at least 25 years old, and for 25 years you've been eating basically three meals a day. You had three ideas every day of super things to eat. Use your imagination. Use your imagination and think creatively. It doesn't have to take an hour or two or three or five or ten every day to figure out what to do with the meals. It's just use your imagination. Now, all of us have ideas of what we think would make a good meal. Well, basically, meat and potatoes. That's the German way. That's the Swiss way. That's the Italian. No, the Italians, they don't have potatoes. They have pasta. But each country has their own thing. And up in Russia, they have borscht, right? And in other countries, they each have their speciality. Now, the speciality, if you will look at the table, may be the speciality, but what they garnish it with is fabulous. The imagination they use to create their meals. You look at the Hawaiian luau, and as you look at this luau that the Hawaiians have, the roasted pig is their central part of the luau. But have you ever been to a luau? They have all sorts of foods at the luau. And I have never tasted any pig at a luau. They may have had a roasted pig there, but the other things look so inviting and so exciting that I spent my time eating them. The pineapple, the special dips, the various other fruits that they have that are native to the Hawaiian Islands. Lovely things. Poi, super stuff. I never got around to the pig. I wasn't hungry anymore when it came time to eat the pig. But you see, the imagination does wonderful things in all areas of our life. If we have a job and we think our job is just for the birds, it's for the birds because we have no imagination. If we had any imagination, our job would be the most exciting job in the entire world. Do you know that cleaning toilets can be the most exciting thing in the world? Here I am, now some 30 years past, well, let's see, that was back in 1945, 46. So from 46 to now is how many years? Tell me quickly. Nobody's got the mathematical mind going there, huh? Huh?
Four.
55.
55 years. 55. 55 years. I was a lieutenant in the Navy and working on our particular group in our hotel that we had. I was going to Marquette University. And my responsibility was to get all the guys to clean their toilets and clean their bathrooms and to keep good hygiene going on around there. And so I would take them by groups. And I would go into a toilet, a bathroom, and take a razor blade and go around the toilet and clean it up and go underneath. It hadn't been done in the history of that hotel, and it was an old hotel there then. And the guys were saying, "Yuck, heard there that." And I said, "You guys are going to do it." Because I'm going to come back here and check it. And if there's any crud under there, you're going to go and do somebody else's. And you're going to do the restrooms for the guests. You're going to do them. You're going to do them until you fall in love with them. Yeah, sure, you know. And these 17, 18, 19-year-old Navy guys, maybe 20, they were not too enticed by that. But I taught them. And I made a game out of it, and we had a lot of fun. We laughed a lot and did a lot of crazy stuff, and all of them were feeling under the toilet seat to make, you know, under the rim of the toilet to make sure it was free of any corrosion or crud or anything. And the whole thing, when we gave that hotel back to the civilian organization that owned it, they were thrilled with it. Not because everything else was kept so clean, which it was, but because the toilets were clean, because they remembered how cruddy the toilets had been, because they were old ones. And then the kids, when they'd go home and visit their mother, they'd clean their mother's toilet at home because it was fun, and they were used to doing it. And their mother came in and saw them doing this, and they said, "What are you doing? That's wonderful." "Yes, well, this is what we do in the Navy. This is the way we do it in the Navy. We keep things ship-shaped, spick and span." "Wonderful." And the mothers were just overwhelmed with having their children being taught to do something that they had not been very harmonious with doing before. But imagination sparked them into being. Imagination sparked them into accomplishing great things. Little children, if you say to them, "Come in here and do this and do that and do the other thing," they will do the opposite. But if you say to the little children, "I wonder what could be another way that we could put your clothes away in here. Do you think that if we put all your clothes in the drawer here, that'd be good? Should we take them all out of the closet and let's try that?" So we take them all out of the closet and put them in a drawer, fold them up. So now, each time after you wear your clothes, you fold them up nicely and put them in the drawer here. Or, then the next day, say, "Let's take all the clothes from the drawer, shake them out and put them on hangers, and hang them up in the closet. Let's see how that works." And so we make sort of a silly game out of it. And the kid says, "This is crazy." And so then we take the clothes and throw them on the floor, and we say, "Let's walk on them. And then tomorrow you can wear it to school." "Oh, what my friends think of me walking, having, you know, clothes that I've walked on and had on the floor. Well, I don't know. But that sounds like a good way to keep clothes. Just throw it on the floor, and then when you want it, you just shuffle through it and pick out the thing. Then another day, you know, you really let it sink in. Then another day, okay, now, what sort of clothes do you think should be in the dresser?" I mean, this kid is 5, 6 years old, you know, maybe 7. And it should have already ideas on this. But it had some bad habits. And so Mama is playing a game or Papa is playing a game. It doesn't matter who. And then, my socks should go in the drawer. Yeah. My handkerchiefs don't hang on a hanger very well. Yeah, okay, we'll fold them up in a drawer. And my undershorts, and maybe my T-shirts too, because, you know, T-shirts are okay on a hanger, but they take less room in the drawer here. But this looks so nice. This looks so beautiful. You've really got a good idea here. And you go on and you play the game. And in no time at all, the young person is thrilled about maintaining their room in an orderly manner. Not because you said, "Do it, do it, do it, do it," and you kept shoving it to them, but lovingly, imaginatively working with them. Now, the greatest mystery, you might wonder what that might be. Well, the greatest mystery comes around like this. Why weren't we taught like that? Why weren't our parents taught like that? Why weren't our parents' parents taught like that? Why did it have to begin now? Okay, we leave the mystery to itself. because it doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is, what are we doing now? What is it that thrills us and delights us now? Come, get in out of the cold. You get a cold. Don't stand in the rain like that. Put on your goulashes. Be careful. You're going to get cold. And then these stupid people who go climbing mountains, they're wearing warm clothes, but they're climbing the mountain in the blizzard and below zero weather, and just their body heat maintaining themselves inside of their costume. Why are they doing that? Don't they know they're going to get the flu, they're going to get a cold, they're going to be sick, they're going to be no good at all? Well, you see, they have never believed that illness comes from the temperature. They've never believed that sickness can come from being out in the weather, perhaps if you're not taking care of yourself. But they can have frostbite on their feet. They can have fingertips that are changed with the coldness. But isn't it interesting? They don't have colds. They don't have the normal things that you would think they would have. They don't have it. That doesn't bother them, because their imagination hasn't covered that. Now, what about your imagination? Does your imagination cover the fact that when you go outside and it's cold out there, you're cold? Or does your imagination say, hey, do, 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 do. I'm going out and doing this and I'm warm and cozy. Dear, put on your overcoat. You'll catch cold. Hey, shut up. I'm doing my own thing. Oh, you wouldn't say that to your wife? You wouldn't say that to your husband? You'd say, I am comfortable. For my 25 years of my life, I have been washing the car in the midwinter, outdoors, naked, and I have never gotten cold. No, I've never gotten cold. It's too thrilling to be cold, because I'm doing something that it's pleasing to me. I'm comfortable. I'm happy. But you should catch cold, because that's what's supposed to happen. Nope, my imagination doesn't include that. Can you imagine that? Remember those Greek runners down in Greece, the early Olympics that they had? Remember Sparta? You ever hear of Sparta? The Spartans? I don't recommend that we do what the Spartans did, but I recommend that we do what the Spartans did. The Spartans lived Spartan lives. They had very little things. They had no clothes most of the time. They slept without a blanket. Can you imagine sleeping without a blanket at night when it's cold? Because the temperature does go down. What did the Spartans do? They just let their body temperature go down, and they were one with the temperature of the weather. And they were untouched by it. The Spartans were very Spartan people, very powerful people. They were very physical people. And they would eat very special diets that were designed to give them utmost strength, utmost body development in keeping them warm and keeping their body functioning good. They were fantastic. Why have we lost that? Well, we lost that because we've lost a lot of other things too. We think that comfort is more wonderful than real comfort. We think that wrapping ourselves in a blanket or putting ourselves into our warm snuggies is more important than going out and bearing the wind and saying, I am whole and perfect and I am wonderful and I am fantastic. We say, I'm cold, and wrap yourself up, and you're still cold. And you take your fingers and stick it inside too and put it underneath your arms, you know. You become such a comfort person that you no longer use your body as how it's designed to be used. Have you ever heard of the Yeti, the snow person who walks up in the Himalayan mountains. He's developed a little bit of fur on his body to keep him from whatever. But they lived perfectly happy. And many of the Sherpas, the Sherpa Indians, who are the ones who take the Himalayan trekkers on their treks, they go barefoot. And the Tierra del Sol Indians down on the tip of South America, when the pioneers, or when the explorers first found them as they were making their journeys down there, these people lived naked. And it was sub-zero weather. And they would wear a robe, but they'd wear a robe only because it had pockets in it. And they could catch fish and stick it in the pockets, and they could get whatever they did and put it in the pockets. Then the children would play in the beach, would play with the incoming icebergs, you know, and stuff on the beach, and just have fun while the mother and father were out there fishing with spears. When did we begin to think that we had to be comfort creatures? When we stopped losing our imagination. When we began thinking that there was no need for our being 100% in charge of ourselves. You are the master of yourself. Start using your imagination. Start imagining yourself as a fabulous person. Do you say every single moment of your life, I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body? But I gotta complain. I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body. I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit. That's imagination. That's using, regardless of what the appearances may be, the truth about yourself, going to your original purity and integrity, going back to it. You see, we drift away from it. Now, when we truly have imagination, we will be happy with food that is the same at every meal. A dog eats the same food at every meal. Oh, a bone smells good. Oh, somebody else's food smells good. Oh, get in there and lick up some of those sauces that they have. But a dog, basically, when you can keep the people out of its mind, out of its world, the dog lives a very healthy life. You give a dog dog food, simple, dry dog food, and a bucket of water, and he'll eat that dog food and drink the water, and he will live his entire dog life healthy as can be. But when you start bringing variety in, then the dog begins to take on the aspects that the humans do around him. Now, you say, well, then that doesn't speak well for imagination. It speaks well for simplicity of always having dry dog food for our meals. Well, let me tell you something. In this world are a lot of people who are exceedingly poor. They live below the poverty level. And for the first time, instead of saying, oh, we're living below the poverty level, they go out and they buy a big bag of dog food. And they eat this dog food. They eat a cup of dog food a meal or something like that. And they are healthy. They are strong. They are happy in body and mind. Oh, it's true, they don't have what other people have as far as a meal goes. They look at television. You see, they're poor, but they have television. They look at the television and they see all the lovely meals that are served there. And they think of all the wonderful sugary cakes, and they think of all the different things that are available. And then their doctor says, cut down on sugar. And so they, instead of eating four pieces of cake a day, they eat maybe three. And the doctor says, cut back on your carbohydrates, cut back on this, cut back on that. And what do they cut back on? Nothing. They keep up the same thing because their heart desires it. If they don't have it, people will just come up and give it to them. It happens that way. When you love candy, people will be around you giving you candy. Why do we teach our children to have candy in the beginning? Why do we teach our world to... We have no imagination. We know that those foods are not good for us. But then let's go further. Jesus said it's not what goes into the mouth, but what comes out that makes the difference. And he's right. But you see, it's not the candy that goes into the mouth that's bad for us. It's the doctors telling us that the candy is bad for us that makes the candy that goes into our mouth bad for us. The candy in itself is not bad for us. You can have people living in perfectly dynamically perfect bodies, eating all the wrong food. And they do. But they believe the food they eat is right. You see, it's a matter of our belief. Our imagination takes us to the edge of greatness and to the very intricacies of happiness and joy. But we allow the world around us to tell us certain things are not good. If you eat something that doesn't taste good to you, you put it down. What's the first thing you do when you are a little child and you have a cup of coffee? You know, who wants that stuff? What's the first thing you do when you're a little child and you have a drink of liquor? You know, oh, terrible. When you're a little child and you're eating something that is too spicy. I don't want that. But your mommy and your daddy train you to eat spicy things. Your mommy and your daddy train you to say, oh, dessert is for the last. The best is for the last. We want to... Why have it for the last? Have dessert at the first. You know? And then maybe you won't eat so much of that other stuff. But we have all of these unimaginative things that we're doing to ourselves, and we don't have to. Perhaps we should go back to the days of Sparta. The days when they were training these men to be very powerful, very dynamic, very strong, to believe that the temple of the living God they were living in was indeed a temple. It had its own air conditioning system, it had its own heating system, it had its own sewer system, it had its own everything. Do you understand? And it does. And well, we've trained ourselves away. Let's use our imagination to get back on track, to realize that this temple of the living spirit is fabulous. It can do anything we can creatively think it to do. And our minds, we don't have to listen to other people. We don't have to listen to the world. We listen to ourselves. And when we listen to ourselves, we'll do every single thing harmonious with our creation. And that's wonderful. But are you ready for that? Or do you want to play the common role? Let's think of ourselves as a bunch of Spartans. Not that we have to be so tough, but we already sleep on the floor because we find it very comfortable. We got lots of beds around here. Anyone can sleep in a bed who wants to. There's no thought against it at all. Ellen sleeps on the floor, well, sort of, and she sleeps on a hard mat. But when her grandson was here, she slept on a mattress because she wanted to be near him, and she thoroughly enjoyed sleeping on a mattress. Well, if you really enjoy it, why don't you have a mattress? It's okay. You can have it. Nobody says you can't. But you see, make up your mind where your imagination is going to take you, because your imagination can take you to heaven, and it can take you to other places. Now, where do you want to go? What do you want? My imagination is my greatest blessing and my greatest mystery. The mystery is why we use our imagination against us when we could be using our imagination for us all times. My imagination is my greatest blessing and my greatest mystery. And we've just taken the mystery out of it. My imagination is my greatest blessing. I love you.